Blog Talk Radio.
Let's begin with the proclamation. For there can be no faith more true or just than to know the things that are, to acknowledge thanks for all things to the one that made them, which thing I will not cease continually to do. All praise be to Amen, or Ha'aren Amen, as we say. Good Heruk Amen fam, you're tuned into another episode of Imani Speaks. I am your host, Amen Ray Minute Help. Today's discourse is titled, Lab Rats in the Cage of America. The quote of today's show comes from the Book of Life, a.k.a. the Netir Sesson, Book 11, verses 51 through 53, and they go as follows. All immaterial things, O Son, that are in the body are possible. They are properly passions. Everything that moves is immaterial. Everything that is moved is a body, and it is moved into the bodies by the mind. Now motion is passion, and there they both suffer, as well that which moves as that which is moved, as well as that which rules as that which is ruled. But being freed from the body, it is freed likewise from passion. End quote. Before I get into today's discourse, I'd like to dedicate this show to my Uncle Landis. He transitioned onto the realm of the ancestors approximately 2 weeks ago. And it was before his wake when I was speaking to my father early last Sunday morning, and he explained to me what my Uncle Landis has went through. As mind you, I seen my Uncle Landis about the beginning of last year, and my dad and I had lunch with my Uncle Landis, and, you know, as far as I could tell, he seemed fine. I mean, he seemed like himself. But after my dad told me what he's been going through, you know, at least the past year, I believe he had cancer and it was just eating him away. And that's why he's no longer here with us today. And when my father was telling me these events, it made me think of what my wellness coach told me a couple of years back when I first met her. And she said, Reggie, we think that we're supposed to mature into adults, get sick, and die. We think this is normal. It's been going on so long that we think it is normal. But they are killing us. They are killing us. And after she met with me, she gave me a video that was titled Food Inc. And when I was preparing for this show, I was looking at the video. And what captured my attention was a farmer, something a farmer said. I don't know the farmer's name, but I'm going to quote what he said. He said, a culture which views a pig as just a pile of protoplasmic inanimate structure to be manipulated by whatever creative design a human can foist on that critter will probably view individuals within its community and other cultures in the communities of nations with the same type of disdain and disrespect and controlling type of mentality. End quote. And when he said that, it captured my attention. I went, whoa, played it back. And then I said, I got to use that quote for today's show. Because like my wellness coach told me, that they are trying to kill us. They being the ruling bodies, the controlling bodies of this world. And we just don't realize how much we have surrendered and our personal freedoms, so to speak, by forfeiting all the responsibilities of our existence to government. And in video titled Food Inc., it's a documentary about the food industry and how corporate interests has taken over the production of food. You know, it's specifically focused on the United States food chain. This has gone on over the world. But I'm not going to talk about over the world now. I'm just going to focus on the United States at this time. When I looked at this documentary and immediately what captured my attention was the way animals are treated on these corporate installations before they are slaughtered. You know, they are in the slaughterhouse and you can hear the animals squealing, and you know, it just sounds horrible. You know, the man that I just read the quote from, right before he said that quote, he was in his chicken house, on his chicken farm, slaughtering chickens. And when they take the chickens out the cage, you can hear the chicken just squalling and, you know, sound horrible. Because the chicken knew what was in store for it, that it was going to be brutally murdered to be food on somebody's plate. And as my wellness coach said, when you eat dead animals, you defile your blood because you take in what that animal was into you, and it becomes part of you. Explains why the general population is so full of fear and hate and disdain towards each other. We are selfish, self-centered, only look out for our own self-interest, and excuse my French, but damn everyone else. You know, it's about you and yours. Take care of you and take care of yours, and forget all about the rest of them, because they're nothing but useless eaters anyway. And before I continue, I just wanted to say that the reason why I'm dedicating the show to my Uncle Landis was because when my father told me what my Uncle Landis went through the last year and how he caught cancer and the cancer ate him up, and just hearing that description, it tore me up inside. And immediately my wellness coach words came to me, what she says to me all the time when I speak to her, about the food that we eat every day, the disgusting way that you know, the animals are treated. And it's not just the way that they are treated. We shouldn't be eating animals anyway, because it is life. And to destroy life and eat it up is what a savage would do. I know most of us don't even give it a second thought that those that control the planet right now come from a very disgusting, corrupt style of living. And it's not pointing fingers at them, it's just where they're from. Excuse me. It is just the lifestyles they inherited, and it's just where they're from. and a description of their culture is fairly said as the Hellenistic culture. Hellenistic meaning of Greece. I say of Greece, of Rome, because Rome is the same as Greece. It's the same thing. And so this Hellenistic culture has been spread all over the earth, and it has literally become hell on earth. Now, back in the days when I read a book called The Gospel of Barnabas, you know, and I would say in my Christian days, and Christians would say there's no such book as the Gospel of Barnabas in the Bible. And I'll say, I know. That would be my reply. I know. I found out about that book, The Gospel of Barnabas, from reading the Quran. Because, frankly, then and still today, I see no difference between Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, Hebrewism, however you want to describe it. I see no difference in the three. I call it the three-headed monster. And that's not to be funny. I am not a comedian. I don't come on this show to make people laugh or to make people feel bad. That's not who I am. I am, excuse the expression, serious as cancer. I am as serious as cancer. Therefore, let me move on. In the Gospel of Barnabas, describes Jesus when he was crucified. We know from the Christian perspective that he was dead 3 days, 3 nights, and then he arose again. But it never said what Jesus did during those 3 days and 3 nights after his crucifixion. It doesn't exist in the Bible. But when I read the Gospel of Barnabas, it tells you that Jesus went into hell. And he freed the patriarchs of his bloodline so that they all went to heaven and resurrected. That was the story of in the Gospel of Barnabas. And I never forgot that story. Because I remember the first thing I said after reading that story is, in mind back then, I said, if Jesus went to hell, and he is the Savior, the Messiah, and had no faults, not guilty of any sin, then what makes us think that we will escape the prisons of hell? That's what I said back then. Nowadays, when I was given this book called The Nitir Sesson, properly translated, that means the rebirth of the divine. Now, I always say that my brother, he is brilliant. And when he put this book together, he translated the information from two different texts and brung them together as one. One of them was called the Shatzi La Ma'at. The other text was called the Nesu Indirazi. And he brung them together into one book because he wanted to show the reader that, you know, the Shatzi La Ma'at is the true scriptures of old. But he added with the Nesu Indirazi to show the practicality of these scriptures, the practicality of this way of life. And as we know, the Kemetic Empire, or as we know them today as the Egyptian civilization, is the most celebrated civilization in the history of this planet. And when you read the Nesu-en-Durazi, you see the governance of that civilization, how strong the governance was. And merely that governance came from the teachings of the Shatzi Lama'at. Like I said, my brother is brilliant. He put it together because he's seen it himself, and that's why he put them together into one book and then named the book The Rebirth of the Divine, a.k.a. the Natir Sesson. And a lot of times you hear me call the Natir Sesson the Book of Life, not to downplay the title my brother already gave it, because like I said, it was brilliant. I begin to call it the Book of Life because it was personal to me, because it was something that I requested years ago to the creator of the universe, that before I leave this life, I want to read and understand the Book of Life. I didn't know what I was talking about, but that's exactly what I said. I want to know the Book of Life. And when I read the Natir Sesson, when I got to the book that was the chapter that explained the nature of Amen, and it said Amen's not jealous. Why would Amen be jealous when there's nothing equal to Amen in the universe? And when I read that, I went, whoa, this is the Book of Life. And that's when everything in me went, there was a ding that went off in my head, and my mind said, welcome home. You're finally here. And then when I switched to my wellness coach teachings on how to properly feed myself day in and day out. And I can remember when I started to follow my wellness coach advice, there would be days that I'm walking around and it just feels like a current. It's just flowing through my body. It's just humming. And it's like a current flowing through it. And when I went into the rebirth of the divine and began to get the explanation of what a soul is, that's when I realized you're feeling your soul. Now you're beginning to feel yourself. That's your soul buzzing like that. That's you. You are alive and well in there. Stop separating yourself from soul because you're one and the same thing. And when I begin to think about that, begin to say that I'm coming alive now, what does that all mean? According to the topic of today, the answer is this Hellenistic world. Each and every one of us, how to live backwards, contrary to the way the proper culture our souls is supposed to follow, the way we're supposed to live. We don't live anymore. We're actually following death. Because we follow this Hellenistic society and we think it's life, but it's actually death. And the architects of this society somewhat knows this. But something tells me that they lack what we call soul. And they know after this life, there's nothing waiting for them on the other side. They will be wandering spirits, what we know today as ghosts. They won't resurrect. They can't resurrect. There's nothing for them to resurrect to. They don't have the power to do it. And therefore, since they do not have the power to resurrect, all of us with souls, they want to keep us tied to this realm here, this physical Hellenistic realm. That's why it's so important for all of us to know history, to know the events of the past, to know where we came from and why we're here today. When my dad instructed me to take black history, that's when the education began for me. And I understand today that education is the awakening of powers within you. That's what education truly is. What we have been perceiving as education is actually miseducation. History is not about dates and events, and you remember those dates and events and names. And when you put all of that together, that's history? No. Incorrect. History is tracing events in the past to see why the things are the way they are today. Why are they like this? Well, history is a good teacher of that lesson to show you the way things are today are because of this reasons, these particular events that happened in the past. And most of us that look at history, we look at those events in the past and just say, these are the lives of dead people that don't mean anything to me today. We don't see the significance of teaching us the flow of the things that are. Those were the things that were, which led to the things that are today, if you follow me. And the architects of today's society and those past lives, those people that put all of this together, you know, they had a very specific reason for taking over the food, for enslaving black folks, for taking over lands from black folks, what we call today black folks. I know it's the color of lore, and really there's no such thing as black or white, or red or yellow or pink, etc. We're not crayons. I understand that. Just using these terms for the general audience to keep up with me. I've just been informed the live feed is about to end. If you would like to hear the rest of this discourse, please dial into 424-222-5376. Again, that's 424-222-5376. If you can't dial in, I will say first, amen. Secondly, the world. Thirdly, man. And for those listening on the phone and on playback, I will continue. So as I was saying, there is a reason why land was taken from who we today call black folks, but dark-skinned, woolly-head people owned the real estate all over this planet. You know, we are told that America was the home of the Native Americans, erroneously called Indians. And the Europeans sailed out of the caves of Europe over to this land called America, and they brung their guns, and they kicked the ass of the Native Americans and wiped them off the planet. That's the story. So untrue. The majority of the owners of this land were not the people that they call Native Americans. I mean, they are Native Americans, but they wasn't the only owners of this vast real estate we call America. You know, there were so-called Africans. I say so-called because I know the word African is a Greek word that means burning souls. The dark-skinned, woolly-haired man, woman, and child was supplanted all over the earth, not just in the land I properly call Merita. Today it's called Africa. I properly use the name Merita from the Heretic language of that time, of the old times, as well as other continents all over the planet. We were supplanted all over the planet. And the story of history was whitewashed, wiped us away, because most of the real estate that was stolen belonged to so-called black people, dark-skinned, woolly-haired men and women. Some call us melaninites. Just so that you understand the description of the original owners of the earth. Then we go into divisions because the so-called modern religions, and I say modern because what the original teachings of old, the original religions, these are not them. I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, I hate religion because it's divisive. And most of us, because we don't understand history, we don't understand that most of the original religions were erased. They don't exist anymore. I mean, granted today we have about 4,000 religions on the planet, if I'm not mistaken. And each religion holds tenets of the original spiritual teachings on the planet. It's just been divided out. You know, the what is one of the Europeans' favorite lines, divide and conquer. That was the whole point of dividing these religions up, dividing these principles up into different religions to keep the people fighting amongst each other. Then the thing called race was created for people to notice their physical differences and begin to separate themselves according to these physical differences, not realizing that all these physical differences come out of the black man, woman, and child. Well, I take that back, not all of them. We have to understand there's different seeds of planet here on the planet right now. That's why it's so significant to teach the dark skin and woolly hair as being something gross, grotesque, and ugly, and to be avoided at all costs. That's what's in the mind of many of us, I know, here in the Americas, but all around the world. I see it in Africa, what we call Africa, properly one of the names, Merita. Some say Alcabulon. I know there are different names for the continent, the motherland. And so that's why we're not supposed to. It's an error for us to divide the dark-skinned, woolly-haired man in Asia from the dark-skinned, woolly-haired man in the Americas, from the dark-skinned, woolly-haired man on the motherland. It's very erroneous to say that we are different people when we actually we're not. We're just spread all over the earth. And because we're spread all over the earth, we've been miseducated to think that we're all different. But we're not. We've been miseducated to think along the lines or define ourselves through our religions, when each religion is a part of the original spiritual teachings. And we're not supposed to divide them. We're supposed to bring them together to see the real picture, the whole picture. Or as our Christian brothers and sisters say, the holy picture. We are supposed to be of one spirit, the Holy Spirit, the whole spirit. And I know a lot of us are taught that spirit is this violent gust of wind that throws us around the church. And that's false. Spirit simply means thought, intelligence. There is a holy intelligence or a Holy Spirit that created the whole universe and is within everything living. And in Derazi, we call it Sesen. We call the mind of it Sesen. But the whole operation of it, we call it Amen. A name that's preserved throughout every language on the earth. It's said different. Amin. Aman. Amen, Niyama, etc., etc. Why am I saying all of this? What does it all mean? It means we've been duped. And those that run this world right now, they're using our social divisiveness. They're using our division through faith, our division through the piety of the one. We all have different names for the one. We all have different practices on how we observe the one. And we use those differences against each other. Especially here in the Americas. That's why I call it Lab Rats in the Cage of America, because we are all the rats that these so-called social scientists or social engineers are experimenting on. They put stimulus out in the environment, cops beating on kids, cops beating on women, cops beating on other men, of the so-called black men. They use black, so-called black people as a grounds of experimentation because we're so socially out of ourselves. What I mean by that, the role of the man is to protect the family. Black men today do not do that. We don't protect our women. We don't protect our children. And so everyone else sees our communities as open season. Say nobody's protecting them. You can do whatever they want. You want to them. Kill the children, hurt up the women, incarcerate the men. They're not going to fight back. At least that's their perception of our nations. We don't even see ourselves in the context of nationhood, in the context of neighborhoods, in the context, I should say not neighborhoods, but in the context of communities. Because to have a community means you own and control every aspect of that space. Here in North America, in the United States, the so-called black man and black woman traded our communities for civil rights. And as a result, we have done a great disservice for the generations coming behind us, because we send our children into our enemies' hands and they educate them, well, miseducate them, excuse me, and just ravage their minds to the point where they can't stand themselves or anyone that looks like them. As I was telling my son yesterday, that the problem doesn't begin with your generation. This problem has been going on for a long time now. It's in my generation. It's in my mom and dad's generation. It's in my grandparents' generation, my great-grandparents' generation, and I can go on and on. You know, we call the Ma'afa, the mass enslavement of so-called black people. We think that it's just been going on for about 500 years, since about 1492. But that's an error, because the Arabs have been enslaving black people since the early 700s, if I'm not mistaken. And black culture has been under attack since about 2000 BC. That's how long it's been going on. This Ma'afa didn't just start 500 years ago. It's been going on for a very long time now. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody or to depress anybody. That's not why I'm saying it. I'm just laying the ground for history, from history, rather, and leading it up to today. The conditions that we see today is not by accident. There is no accident why this world is in the condition that it is today. And there have been social scientists that have been spinning their webs and creating certain social ills all throughout the globe. They control the food source, so they pump bad food in the poorest neighborhoods to see what will happen to them. Let's observe what will happen to them, and we'll keep it up. We are lab rats in the cage of America. And so the purpose of Indarazi is to wake men and women up, to wake men and women up so we all can reclaim our souls. And I will say, first, amen. Secondly, the world. Thirdly, man. Hotep.
What up, fam?
How you feeling?
We're back again.
Yes, sir.
It's on the Ray.
I hit the earth like a comet invasion. Stand, stand permanent, shine like Arthur Razor. You don't understand, I'm so amazing. Mental bullets be brazen, making Caucasian persuasions. Focus on the hip-hop nation. My lawn's laser, angel dust. I'm rushing, crush MCs like the 86 bitch.